In the basement beforehand, I was praying in the office, and the Lord said, just put away your agenda and bring me something real. So, because all day I was reading a passage to prepare and worrying about how that might land on us, and he said, put away your agenda and bring me something real. So that's what I want to try to do. I want us to bring him something real. I'm not particularly interested tonight in doing a lot of ministry to you guys. That's so common sort of to my mindset as a pastor, is to think about how can I lay hands on these people? How can we see the weary sustained and the weak strengthened and the complacent awakened, and how can we get this thing going to where we get the people of God strong and refreshed and renewed and on the mission? But that's not what this weekend's about. This weekend's about giving him something real. This weekend's about ministering to him. So, I am going to set this up, because I might leave some silences here that you guys need to fill by talking to God. Oh no, don't do it. All right, I'm going to leave it like that. And you can take it off the stand. Let's pray. God, you said, who can approach you? Who can go up the holy hill of the Lord, the mountain of the Lord, the one who has clean hands and a pure heart, doesn't lift up his soul to what is false or swear by an idol? God, we want to bring you something pure. We want to bring you something true, and we want to bring you something real. So out of the gate, God, out of the gate, I say, I feel like I'm coming up the mountain without a clean heart and without clean hands. And God, I'm asking for you to help. I'm asking for you to change me. You deserve so much better. And I'm not even asking for my own sake, Father. I'm not asking for you to change me for my own sake. I'm asking for your name's sake. I'm asking for your sake. I'm so mindful of how when I mess up, when I sin, and when I'm aware of it, it actually causes me to draw back from you. So counterproductive to draw back from the one who has the grace that can transform me. God, we give our lives to you. We give ourselves to you. We're not looking to ourselves. We're not looking to our efforts. We're not looking to our track record, God. We want you. We know that it's possible to walk with you in such a way that there's joy every day. We know that it's possible, God, that there's power over sin, and that we can have life abundantly. God, you want to pour out your Spirit on us. You want to bless us. You want to bring us wholeness in every area of life so that we can represent you well in the world. God, I'm asking that there would come upon us a dissatisfaction with the broken parts of our lives. Father, we just declare we were made to thrive. We were not made to survive. We were made to thrive. God, you want us to have a sound mind. We invite you to bring us a sound mind. God, we're reaching our hand out to you, and we're asking for you to reach out your hand to us. Jesus. God, I wish there was some way I could just say, change me against my will. I wish there was some way I could just say, purify me and transform me so that I can't mess this up, so that I can't become hardened and self-centered and entitled again. But I hear you saying it's a partnership, it's a walk. And I hear you saying the righteous man falls 7 times, but he gets back up. So get back up. God, I'm so tired of falling. I want to live well, God. God, I ask that my light would shine at home. That Carrie and the boys and the girls there would see Jesus in me. God, I pray that same prayer over everyone here. I ask that cry be put in their heart, God, that it's almost like before we pray about mission, God, we just get this thing real at home. Jesus, you don't want to put more religious burden on us. You don't want to put pressure on us to perform for you. You have this whole walk you want to reveal to us. So God, we want this thing to be real. God, would you renew our minds so that when we think of serving you, we don't think of putting a burden on, but we think of putting up a sail. We think of opening our arms to joy. We think of the adventure of saying yes to you. And God, I know it's going to be costly, but God, it's so much more costly to live in sin. So much more costly to waste our lives on trinkets and treasures and pleasures and distractions and comforts and complacency. And I just speak that word complacency, and I say we break it tonight. We choose to say no to complacency, God, to satisfaction with less than kingdom of God. We invite you, Holy Spirit, do what you want to do. Do what you want to do in us. Do what you want to do through us. God, I ask that you would build in us an expectancy, and that you would teach us to not have an expectation that causes us to be frustrated because we thought you were going to do this, but you did something else, and then we don't flow with it. We pray for the expectancy without the expectation. God, we pray for the expectancy that you're going to show up and you're going to move and you're going to give us opportunities to be your hands and feet and to be love. And God, we even expect the trial. And I even ask, God, that you would give us a heart that says, it's okay for the trial to come because my life is not my own. It's okay for the difficulty to come. It's okay for it to be inconvenienced. It's okay to be slighted. It's okay to be stretched. I'm asking, God, that you take us from a place of fearing the trial to a place of even anticipating how you're going to show up in the trial. And that's a big, big jump. So would you take us, would you transition us to that mindset, God? God, take us from the place of fearing our next failure, from the place of fearing our next screw up, from the place of fearing the next thing that's going to hurt us, to a place of anticipating how you're going to show up and show off. God, take us to a place called faith. I say yes to you, God. I say yes to you, God. I say yes to you, God. God, we say yes to you the same way Abraham did. We said yes and didn't know where he was saying yes to. He signed a blank check, God. We sign a blank check that says, here's my life, here's my possessions, here's my relationships, here's my career ideas, here's my next 40, 50, 60, 70 years. And we just sign it over and we say, okay, you have the right, Father, to make withdrawals in any way, at any time, of any amount. I just sense sort of like this combination of swirling thoughts here. And one of them is just this invitation. I keep hearing, bring me something real. Bring me something real. And I see this vision of this desert, and it is dry and it is arid, and it is not like, you know, it's not like, you know, there's green stuff, but it's dry. No, I'm talking about like Sahara. I'm talking like windswept sand dunes. And God sees what's real in the midst of that situation. That proves what's real. There's the dead tree over there. There's the dead wood over there. And over here is something that's not dead. And God says, now I see what's real. The trial comes and it reveals what's rooted deep. Jesus, I'm asking, God, would you stop us from just praying for safety? This is so my prayer today. It was just like, I want out of it. I'm just sick of it. Would you transform my understanding, God, to see that this is just revealing what's real? If you stumble in times of trouble, how small is your strength? Okay, so it's just revealing. I got small strength. So God, I'm asking, would you increase me? God, I want more humility. I want more selflessness. I ask God that you put a spirit of intercession in this house right now. I'm asking that nobody just be listening to me pray, but they be praying. I'm asking God that you take an entertainment mindset that says, oh, this isn't quite what I was looking for out of a conference. God, that you bring us to a place of saying, no. We need to bring the Father something authentic. This is not for us tonight, guys. This is for you, Father. God, I see us robed in a robe of righteousness, but I also hear a different message. I hear a call that says, I want you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling you've received. That's not about that robe of righteousness. That's about something we do. That's about something we bring to the table. That's about me getting up this morning and getting God first. This is about me checking my desires and checking my impulses and checking my words and saying, no, I belong to Jesus. Therefore, I say no to this. I was bought at a high price, and I'm not my own anymore. So I ain't clicking on that. I ain't buying that. I ain't going down that road, and I'm not saying that. Holy Spirit, put that heart so in our chest that that you see us living integrity in the secret place. God, I ask that you would make Philippians 2 real in me. Have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, that though he was in the form of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. He didn't hold on to his rights. Jesus, you deserved all the worship. You deserved all the praise. You deserved all the convenience. You deserved everything to go your way, and almost nothing went your way. And you were resisted, and you were opposed, and you were misunderstood, and you were betrayed, and you were abandoned, and you ministered long hours to people who didn't even really want what you were trying to bring to the table. Oftentimes, they just wanted a better day, a better life, a healed body, and a filled belly. And you never despised them for it. You never resented us. You never despised us. You never gave up on us because you didn't consider your rights and you didn't consider your needs and your wants. You considered what the Father's plan was and you considered our value and you poured yourself up and you took on the nature of a servant. You made yourself lower than any other person who's ever lived. So you're exalted now in the Father's economy higher than anyone. And God, make that real in me. You told me to have that same attitude in myself, which you demonstrated first. That my days are not for me, that this moment is not for me, that this life is not for me. God, I ask that you give us a dream that is way better than our American dream. Holy Spirit, we invite you to ruin our dreams. We invite you to ruin our lives. We invite you to mess with us. God, we invite you to form the character of Jesus in us. We just say, oh, I know this isn't going to feel good to be crucified with you, but we get to then know you. And we're convinced there's nothing else on planet Earth that satisfies, that brings life, that brings joy, that brings vitality, like knowing you. So you're worth every cost. You're worth any price. God, we sell it all and we buy this field to get this treasure. God, I say more. More. And I've been wanting miracles and signs and wonders, and I still do. But I just it's like a promise. It's like a promise. If you will just gain truth in the secret place, if you will just gain integrity in the secret place, if you will just be faithful in the private tests, I will pour out such an anointing on you, it will flow and it will be easy, and you will have a power this world's not seen much of in the past. You do not need to seek signs. You do not need to go to conferences. You do not need to do all the stuff. You need to develop surrender and humility and servant-hearted, other-centered, get down and wash feet and wipe butts and just and put up with mistreatment and do it all in joy. Lord, you gave me that word, and I just go ahead and I discharge it as a corporate word. And we'll see all that other stuff in public if this is real in private. Teach us faith, God. I don't know that we know about it. I don't know that I know about really what it is to stand in faith. God, teach us to use our authority. Teach us to use our authority in prayer to make declarations. God, train us not to speak a curse over our lives. Train us to learn how to speak a blessing. And I am not talking about name it and claim it. I am talking about genuine biblical faith. I'm not naming and claiming what I want. I am claiming what you said you want. I'm not naming and claiming things to make my life more cushioned. I'm naming and claiming what you said in the book is true now that Jesus has come, has died, has defeated, and is reigning as Lord. And I'm declaring that you said your people can walk by faith and not by sight. You said we can shine like stars in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. You said that we can become love, that we can live a life of love, that we can put on love like clothing and put on compassion, and we can put on forgiveness, and we can demonstrate those things with consistency in our relationships. It is possible not to let a root of bitterness grow up to defile many. It is possible to grow up into him who is the head of all things, namely Christ. We are claiming your truth. We are naming your truth. And God, you don't want us to be in debt. You don't want us in bondage to anything. So we bring our financial burdens to you in Jesus' name, and we say, teach us wisdom in how to spend these things, but we are also asking for supernatural release from the mindsets and from the curses and from the patterns of expenditure that have kept us not free to be generous. We want to be blessed, we want to have enough, and then we want to have more than enough that we can richly provide for the needs of others. In Jesus' name, we offer our finances to you, God, and we ask you to bless them. We ask for complete freedom, God. God, we bring you our marriage relationships, God, or for our parents' marriage relationships, whatever it is that's touching us. And God, we say it looks dead right now for some of these situations, but you are the God who brings life from the dead. I don't even know how this is possible, but I pray for restoration for marriages. In Jesus' name, we bring you our marriages. We bring you our friends' marriages. Just picture the couple, if it's not you, if it is you, picture it. And just in your heart, just picture the Lord pouring light and love on it right now. Light and love and peace on it. And melting away years of bitterness, years of resentment. Just picture the flood of God's love coming and just crushing over the walls that people have built around their hearts to protect themselves from their spouse. God, change hearts, change patterns, God. And let this generation be one that says, no more. I'm not going to fight this spiritual fight with fleshly weapons anymore. I'm not going to try to get the love I think I deserve out of my wife. I'm going to take this thing to the Lord and ask, what do you want me to do? I surrender to you. And I'm not going to manipulate her. And vice versa. I've surrendered to you, and I'm not going to try to manipulate him. And God, I release couples in here. I release individuals from taking the blame for your spouse's behavior in Jesus' name. For your sake, God, bring each one to wholeness in you and your love. God, strengthen our marriages. God, put a hunger for the scripture in our hearts. God, your word is truth. You said if we continue in your word, then we'll be shown to really be your disciples, and then we'll know the truth, and the truth will make us free. So God, if we're not free, there's something missing having to do with our grasp of your word, your truth. So would you put a hunger, God, that we would be trained by your word, shaped by your word, that it would have much more of a grasp on our minds than our opinions, our friends' opinions, our church traditions, stuff on the radio, the music, the media, all the stuff, God, that we fill our minds with that creates a mindset. Would you let your scripture dwell in us so richly and deeply that we actually have a renewed mind, that we don't think like the world? More, God. God, I'm asking that you fulfill in our midst your own instruction that you said that no matter what we do, we're supposed to be constantly muttering and talking about your word and your wisdom and these awesome things about your covenant, things you've done, your miracles, your great redemption, the things, these secrets that you've tucked away that you said it's yours to hide things, but it's up to kings. It's the glory of kings to search them out. It's your glory to hide and conceal a matter. God, I'm asking that you capture our hearts with this sort of grand game of hide and go seek, where every day you tuck these mysteries and these riddles because you like to speak in riddles. You like to speak in dreams. And I'm asking, God, that you create in us afresh a hunger to hear you. And I'm asking, God, you free us from expectations of how it's supposed to look and how it's supposed to be. Help us to delight in what you are doing, not get offended by what you're not doing. Now, that's a big one. I'm asking in Jesus' name, you enable us to delight in what you are doing in this season in our lives, instead of rue this season and wish it were some other time. God, make us live in the present with joy and thankfulness, not comparing our life to some fabrication in our mind and then becoming discontent. This is the season you're supposed to be blessed in. This is our season to be blessed in, Father. This is the day the Lord has made. God, I'm asking you give us a revelation of that. This is the day. It's not off in the future. It's not after I get married. It's not after I go to college. It's not after I retire. It's not after I get that raise. It's not after so-and-so stops being mad at me. It's not after I get over this, that, or the other issue. This is the day. Now is the time.
God, I just pray that you would teach us how to be hungry. Mm-hmm. Father, I pray that you would teach us sacrifice, Father. And God, I don't want to be a child who's fat with the knowledge of you and everything you've done for me and everything that you've taught me, just sitting there becoming fatter and softer, Father. But Lord, I want to be lean and calloused with putting to use everything that you've given me, Father. And Lord, I pray over this house that we would be a house, Lord, that you have filled with treasure and that you have filled with fine china and you have filled and set the table, Lord. But Lord, I want to be a people that rips off the dust claws, Lord, and we entertain love and we entertain forgiveness and we entertain joy. And Lord, I want to entertain the poor and the broken, Amen. Father. Well, let's Amen. Put us to use, Father God. We don't want to be a house just covering up and storing away the things that you have placed there to be shown off and to be magnified and to be put to use, Father, Lord. So just put us to use, God. Lord, let us entertain mm-hmm. your will, Father God. Let us be a house that entertains your will.
Mm-hmm. Holy Ghost. Thank you, God. God, let what happens here impact there. Let this never be about here.
I pray for a hunger in myself and each person here, a hunger for you that can't be satisfied, a thirst that can't be quenched. Mm-hmm. And I see spread out before us a table, a banquet table that just stretches on into eternity. I pray, Father, that we would feast at that table. And as we feast, we would grow hungry again and we would feast more. I pray, Father, that I and each person here would not nibble at the tables of the world and things that seem to satisfy for a brief period, but only create, they only take away our appetite for you. I just pray, Father, for an increasing hunger, that you would salt our oats, that you've already laid out that table, Father, just impel us, draw us to that table, create, like the song said, a fire that can't be quenched. And Father, as that fire grows and it can't be quenched, it spreads. As we feast at that table, we can't help but tell other people there is a place that they can be satisfied, that there is a place that will satisfy their deepest hungers, their deepest longings, so it will not stay just, we're not just eating just to fill our own bellies, our own hearts, but we're feasting on you, Father, to share with everybody we meet. Increase our hunger, increase our hunger, increase our thirst.
Father, we ask you, Lord, to open the heavens. Mm-hmm. Lord, open the heavens and fill our hearts with your love and your grace, and the compassion, Lord, that's needed to reach out to the lost. Father, we pray that you would send out harvesters to reap the harvest. For truly the harvest is great and laborers are few. Yes. Father, we just pray for a greater compassion, a greater boldness, a greater determination to be faithful to God. To seek the Lord in a quiet time. To seek the Lord in our closets, Lord. And study the word, Lord God. And let your word live big in us. As pastors talked about. And Father, may you, Lord, do a work in our hearts and lives. Mm-hmm. That we may have the energy and the word to feed to the lost. For truly, Lord, without the knowledge of your word, they are lost. But Father, we're grateful that someone loved us. Someone prayed for us. Someone fed us the word. And we received the word. And Lord, you have made a great difference in our lives by birthing us into your kingdom. And Lord, we're grateful for that. And thank you, Lord, for sanctification and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Father. Yes. I didn't deserve it, Lord, but it's a free gift. And my heart was wide open, and Lord, you filled me. And I'm thankful for that also.
Yes, Father.
Father, we pray that you'd bless this sanctuary. Pour out your love upon the pastors. Pour out your grace upon the congregation, Lord, and the teachers. Help us, Lord, to be a body of people that hear your voice and are quick to obey.
Yes.
Bless our pastor and keep him strong. May we all, as a body, lift him up in prayer night and day.
Thank you, God.
That God may work through this body of believers to reap a great harvest for our master.
Thank you, Father.
In whose name we pray. Amen.
Father, your great apostle prayed. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And you may have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is.
Amen.
May you experience the love of Christ, yes, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. So, Father of glory, we just ask for this.
Yes.
Lord, I ask for those here that have not experienced your love, yes, that today would be the day, that this is the day that you have made for us to love you and, yeah, to be known in your love.
Yeah.
And that because of your great love, we can love you back.
Thank you.
Lord, we can give you nothing tonight if we don't have your love. And Lord, we can only give what we receive from you. Mm-hmm. So Lord, I pray just for awakening in our hearts. Yeah. And Lord, I pray for,
yeah,
fog to lift on our minds, that maybe we feel like we've never known love, or we've never seen your love, or we've never felt your love. God, I pray that that would be lifted tonight in Jesus' name. And Lord, that your love would be poured out, and Lord, that our hearts would be made firm in that, and our roots would go deep, God,
Jeez,
and that in that deepness and in that knowing, God, the real would come.
Mm-hmm.
And Lord, there would be no floundering in the storms. There would be no floundering in the desert. There would be no floundering in the oasis, because we know you, and we've been loved by you, and we have all that we need in the fullness of Christ Jesus. Amen.
God, I thank you that we get to commune with what's right instead of what's wrong. Thank you that when you got up and took the scroll, you didn't say, wow, that's a problem. What a broken world. I think we should feel really bad. We've done bad. We should feel bad. Wow. You said, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor and proclaim freedom to captives and recovery of sight to the blind, release to the prisoners, and proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord's favor. Because you lived from the reality of the kingdom, not from the reality of the brokenness of the world. And I ask in Jesus' name that you would do that in our hearts, that we would live from the reality of what's right with you, not what's wrong with us and what's wrong with the world. Teach us to commune with your love, like Deb just prayed so beautifully. I ask, God, that that our lives before you would be characterized by receiving your love, just like she prayed. God, yes, yes, yes. I just say, yep, that was it. That was a target. That was a bullseye right there. That was a key. Teach us, God, to do that. Commune with what's right with you. We can come on the basis of what's wrong with us, but never stay there, God. We just get right to what's right with you right away. So God, whoever's in the place who feels like, who came in like I did, feeling just so frustrated with their own failures, God, I ask that you would now teach us to look right into your eyes and hear you say, it's forgiven. I never once saw you through the lens of what you just did, never once. It never changed a bit of what I see in you of value as my child. Thank you, God. Amen. Okay, that was a good introduction. I want to read you Isaiah 58. And then, let's see. Where's Jacob and Megan? Did they leave? Are you guys still here somewhere? Okay. Can you guys pick out a couple more songs? Okay. I don't want to say we're almost done, because that's never, preachers aren't allowed to do that, because they've always lied to me when they've said that, including me. You know what I'm saying? Oh, this is my final point 10 minutes later. But I do want to read this to you, because this is the charter for the weekend. Okay? Listen to the word of the Lord. Shout with the voice of a trumpet blast. Shout aloud, don't be timid. Tell my people Israel of their sins. Yet they act so pious. They come to the temple every day and seem delighted to learn all about me. They act like a righteous nation that would never abandon the laws of its God. They ask me to take action on their behalf, pretending they want to be near me. We have fasted before you, they say. Why aren't you impressed? We've been very hard on ourselves, and you don't even notice. I'll tell you why, I respond. It's because you're fasting to please yourselves. Even while you fast, you keep oppressing your workers. What good is fasting when you keep on fighting and quarreling? This kind of fasting will never get you anywhere with me. You humble yourselves by going through the motions of penance, bowing your heads like reeds bending in the wind. You dress in burlap and cover yourselves with ashes. Is this what you call fasting? Do you really think this will please the Lord? No. This is the kind of fasting I want. Free those who are wrongly imprisoned. Lighten the burden of those who work for you. Let the oppressed go free and remove the chains that bind people. Share your food with the hungry and give shelter to the homeless. Give clothes to those who need them and do not hide from relatives who need your help. Then your salvation will come like the dawn, and your wounds will quickly heal. Your godliness will lead you forward, and the glory of the Lord will protect you from behind. Then, when you call, the Lord will answer. Yes, I'm here, he will quickly reply. Remove the heavy yoke of oppression. Stop pointing your finger and spreading vicious rumors. Feed the hungry and help those in trouble. Then your light will shine out from the darkness, and the darkness around you will be as bright as noon. The Lord will guide you continually, giving you water when you are dry and restoring your strength. You will be like a well-watered garden, like an ever-flowing spring. Some of you will rebuild the deserted ruins of your cities. Then you will be known as a rebuilder of walls and a restorer of homes. Keep the Sabbath day holy. Don't pursue your own interests on that day, but enjoy the Sabbath and speak of it with delight as the Lord's holy day. Honor the Sabbath in everything you do on that day, and don't follow your own desires or talk idly. Then the Lord will be your delight. I will give you great honor and satisfy you with the inheritance I promised to your ancestor, Jacob. I, the Lord, have spoken. This is the word of the Lord. Spend some time with Isaiah 58, please. I feel inadequate to preach it, so I'm really not going to try. But it's a charter for his value system. I looked up the passages in the scripture today that deal with the Lord's heart and priority for the poor. I guess I'll put them in a PDF and send them to you guys, put them on Facebook, put on our Facebook page and stuff. Maybe not all 300 of them. But think that through with me for a second. 300 passages in the Bible on God's heart for the poor, his priority for the poor, his protection of the poor, his blessing of those who care for the poor, and how he opposes those who do not care for the poor. He's really on the side of the poor. That's not a political statement. That's not an agenda to try to get you to vote or do something. It is an agenda to get you to do something and to get me to do something. But I'm not trying to get political. It's time to take the blinders off our eyes and let the Bible say what it says, regardless of our preconceived American values. If we're not on the side of the poor, we're not on the side of God. That should mean something in my daily life. Do you know what I mean? So I honestly just need to let Nikki Gonzalez yell at you guys for a while. She probably wouldn't yell. And I don't mean like, you know, you guys stink. That's not what I'm talking about. She's passionate about the poor. And she's trying. And I deeply respect that. And the clothes closet we have, Nikki and Anita, head up. That's so close to God's heart, you know. A Thanksgiving box giveaway thing that we do, that is so close to God's heart. Like, I know the lights have come on when, like, 90% of us show up for that. You know, I know the lights have come on when Nikki and Anita have to work hard to get people to come to close God's closet. I know the lights have come on when, like, we're bothering Nikki like crazy trying to say, what can we do for the poor and the homeless in our area? You know what I'm saying? Yeah, but it's an impossible problem to solve. Yeah, I know. I know it is. It's an impossible problem. So I know it is. It's impossible to solve. But you got to care. You got to try. And I don't think that God's like, you know, once you feel compassion, then you'll move. No, I don't think so. I think it's once you go and once you obey, then compassion will come later. I forwarded an article to Nikki today that, like, they put sensors on people's brains and studied the portions of their brain to see what was firing, and it was crazy. Like, when they showed you a disabled person, compassion and empathy was, like, firing in most people's brains. When they showed you, like, an elderly person, compassion and empathy was firing in these people's brains. And when they showed you an overflowing toilet, or puke, or a heroin-addicted homeless person, disgust and revulsion was firing in people's brains. Isn't that crazy? We're not talking about, like, people treated them badly. I'm talking about they put sensors on people's brains and saw what portions of the brain were firing. And I was like, you know what? I bet that can be rewired by taking action. Anyway, I'm not trying to harp on this. I'm just like reading Isaiah 58. I feel like totally inadequate to even preach on it because I'm like, huh, it's really not about, it's really, that isn't about a sermon. You know what I mean? Like, I read that and I'm like, there's no sermon there. It's a life that we're called to live. Of just loving him and loving people that he loves. All right, be quiet, Tim. Can I read you the same passage in Eugene Peterson's? All right, let's do that. Are you guys ready? Okay. The massage. The message. That's what I'm... Oh, fine. I got to say one more thing. So you guys know why Sodom was destroyed, right? Tell me. Why was Sodom destroyed? Say it again. It's a trick question. Ezekiel 16:49. Listen to this. Check this out. I'm serious. Ezekiel 16:49. Sodom's sins Now, let me quote it. Now, this was the sin of your sister Sodom. She and her daughters were arrogant, overfed, and unconcerned. They did not help the poor and the needy. Wow. Arrogant. It's all about me. I'm very important. I'm more important than other people. That's arrogance. I am more important than other people. Overfed, taking so much more than you possibly need. And unconcerned about the fact that other people don't even have what they need. That was Sodom's sins. Now, obviously, there were other ones. All right, back to Eugene Peterson's. He titles this chapter, Isaiah 58, "Your Prayers Won't Get Off the Ground." Okay? Shout, a full-throated shout. Hold nothing back. A trumpet blast shout. Tell my people what's wrong with their lives. Face my family Jacob with their sins. They're busy, busy, busy at worship, and they love studying all about me. To all appearances, they're a nation of right living people, law abiding, God honoring. They ask me, what's the right thing to do? And they love having me on their side, but they also complain, why do we fast and you don't look our way? Why do we humble ourselves and you don't even notice? Well, here's why. The bottom line on your fast days is profit. You drive your employees much too hard. You fast, but at the same time, you bicker and fight. You fast, but you swing a mean fist. The kind of fasting you do won't get your prayers off the ground. Do you think this is the kind of fast day I'm after? A day to show off your humility? To put on a pious, long face and parade around solemnly in black? You call that fasting? A fast day that I, God, would like? This is the kind of fast day I'm after. To break the chains of injustice. To get rid of exploitation in the workplace. To free the oppressed. To cancel debts. What I'm interested in seeing you do is sharing your food with the hungry. Inviting the homeless poor into your homes, putting clothes on the shivering ill-clad, and being available to your own families. Do this, and the lights will turn on, and your lives will turn around at once. Your righteousness will pave your way. The God of glory will secure your passage. And then when you pray, God will answer. You'll call out for help, and he'll say, here I am. If you get rid of unfair practices and quit blaming victims and quit gossiping about other people's sins, if you're generous with the hungry and start giving yourselves to the down and out, your lives will begin to glow in the dark. Your shadowed lives will be bathed in sunlight, and I will always show you where to go. I'll give you a full life in the emptiest of places, firm muscles, strong bones. You'll be like a well-watered garden, a gurgling spring that never runs dry. And you'll use the old rubble of past lives to build new. Rebuild the foundations from out of your past. And you'll be known as those who can fix anything. Restore old ruins, rebuild, renovate, and make the community livable again. If you watch your step on the Sabbath and don't use my holy day for personal advantage, if you treat the Sabbath as a day of joy, God's holy day as a celebration, if you honor it by refusing business as usual, making money, running here and there, then you'll be free to enjoy God. Oh, I'll make you ride high and soar above it all. I'll make you feast on the inheritance of your ancestor Jacob. Yes, God says so.